Chapter 11, Ezekiel chapter 11. I want to bring a thought to you this morning. How can God get us to walk with Him? How can God get us to walk with Him? God wants you to walk with Him. God wants to walk with you. God created on the day six so that all that He created on that day would worship Him, have fellowship with Him, and have communion with Him. God is interested in fellowship with people. And so the desire of His heart this morning is that you walk with Him. That's the desire. Now, how does God get us to do that? Well, here in Ezekiel chapter 11, we'll begin here. We'll read some other scripture. But in verse 18, as we stand to our feet this morning in honor of God's Word. For you that are visitors, you have already probably noticed we stand a lot. We stand to sing the name of the Lord. We sing to read the Word of the Lord. We want to bring honor to Him and everywhere He's mentioned. That's why we stand. He's worthy to stand for. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 18. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh. That's an important word, they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh not after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their land, upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 18. Verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Ezekiel 36. We'll go back to Ezekiel 36. To 11 here in just a moment and come back to all these. Ezekiel 36, let's read in verse 25. For then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause, that's an important word, you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus here this morning. Lord, I humbly come to you, Father, asking God that you'd help me. Lord, I'm just but flesh this morning. Frail and feeble, as you say. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, you'll use me for the glory of God. Father, there's nothing more I want this morning than just be the mouthpiece of God. Just an instrument, God, used by you. Father, I pray this morning, dear God, that you'd guard my lips and my mind. I pray that you'd empower me with the Holy Ghost of God, that I might preach the Word of God with truth and in the right spirit. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us this morning to hear the Word of God. God, that we would act upon it. We'd make application to our lives. Father, we will not be deaf to God's Word. But Father, we'll be able to hear it and be doers of it. Father, thank you for all that's come this morning. I pray you'll save the lost especially. But those that are cold and indifferent, God, I pray you'll bring them home. We love you. We thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So back into Ezekiel chapter 11. We find that all three passages is speaking concerning the subject this morning that we want to present to you, and that is the walk. To walk. And so we know that in the Bible that Enoch walked with God. We also know the Bible teaches us that Noah walked with God. And so we can go through the Scripture and find others that walked with God. Now, why do some people walk with God and others don't walk with God? Is it important this morning to walk with God? Is it something this morning that God is going to make you walk with Him? And so some say, and I don't believe they're correct, but some say, well, God's not going to make you do anything. That's not true. We've already read two passages this morning that God has said that He will cause you to walk in His statutes. And so we find this morning that when God is in control, when God is the king of your heart, when God is the Lord of your life, you're going to find the very response to that, the very reaction to that is walking with God. It won't be a question. It won't be hard. It won't be difficult. It won't be trying. It won't be burdensome. It will be freely. It will be joyfully and gladfully that you get up and go forth and you walk with God. Now, God is the one who's going to bring that about. We find in Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 20, He says, that they may walk in My statutes. And so He says, and that, meaning that the prior verses is to that, if they are accomplished, then they will walk with God. I understand there in Ezekiel 36 and in verse 27, I'll turn there with you, for you. The Bible says this. In that verse 27, He says, and I will put My Spirit within you and cause you to walk. And cause you to walk. Again, when God does a work in any individual, in every individual, the results of that work is walk. The results of every work of God in every sinner's heart will result in walking. You don't have to push people to walk after God. You don't have to prod people to walk after God. You don't have to call them on a Saturday night and say, please come to Sunday school and please come to church on Sunday. You don't have to send them flowers. You don't have to send them letters. You don't have to send them to dinner. You don't have to get them tickets to their favorite sports event. You don't have to do anything if God's done the work in their heart. Walking with God is just as chewing gum. Walking with God is as much as brushing your teeth. Walking with God is as much as you taking one step after the other. It becomes nature. It becomes natural. It becomes who you are when you walk with God. But friend, you're not going to walk with God if God has not done a work in your life. And many people want to walk with God at their convenience. Many people want to walk with God at their abilities or their capabilities. They want to walk with God with a make-believe God, with a make-up walk, and they want to do it at their time and in their pleasure, but God doesn't work that way. Amen? And so we're going to see in the Scripture this morning, how does God get us to walk with Him? See, it's the plea of God this morning that you walk with Him. It is the very desire of God that you walk with Him. It is the very hope of God that you walk with Him this morning. It's not you wanting to walk with God. It's God wanting to walk with you. It is God wanting you to walk with Him. Amen. And so we find that desire to be very pleasing in our hearts. God just wants to be you to be His people. And He wants to be your God. That's what God wants this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 and through verse 18. Turn there with me if you don't mind. But the Bible says in that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll go to it here in just a moment, but I want to just kind of give you an idea of the New Testament. Not only an Old Testament principle, but it's a New Testament principle. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath with righteousness with and with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, and what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's a New Testament principle. That's an Old Testament principle. That's an all-time principle. That's the Word of God. That's the heart of God, the plea of God, the desire of God, that you be His people and He be your Father, and that you would walk after Him. Amen. That's the desire of His heart in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. God just wants a people who just walks after Him, and that He is their God and they are His people. That's all God wants. God's not asking for much. God's not asking that you do anything, really. God's not expecting much out of us, just people today. All He wants to do is you to walk with Him. That's all. And so, what will it take? What does God do? Because if we could make that decision, I guess that we would make it and we would do it. But the bottom line is this morning, how many of in this room is walking with God? How many in this room even knows what that means this morning to walk with God? Have you even considered walking with God? I mean, many people just say, I'm saved. And all of a sudden, that kind of just says it all. But it doesn't. People say, well, you know, I've been baptized. Somehow that's supposed to just make it all better. Some people say, well, you know, I go to church. You know, I have a King James Version Bible. You know, I don't kill nobody, I don't rob no bank, and boy, I don't take drugs, and I don't look at pornography. You must be in a pretty good shape, but there's more to it than just those small little things that we always seem to bring out. Number one, in order for us to walk with God, there's got to be a process of removing. Back into Ezekiel chapter 11. Now, keep your hand there in that 2 Corinthians. We'll be back there, but in Ezekiel chapter 11, in our text that we've read, I want you to notice there's going to be a process of removing. Before there can be the power of renewing, there has to be a process of removing. Before there's a power of renewing, there has to be a process of removing. So God's going to have to do something in our lives to get some things out of our lives in order for Him to come into our lives. We find in this process, we see in chapter 11 of Ezekiel, verse 18. He says, and they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things. And so that word detestable there, God's going to take some things away of His choosing. You see, whenever you walk with God, it's because God has chose to take some things out of your life that He chose to take out of your life. You say, well, you know, there's some things in my life I know right now that I need to get rid of. That's not the things we're talking about. You say, well, there's some bad habits in my life. I need to just stop. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about His choosing. When God says to you, hey, listen, Larry. Hey, listen, so-and-so. You're going to have to remove those detestable things. They've got to go. They've got to get out of your life. Yeah, but Lord, I like them. Oh, yeah, Lord, they make me happy. Yeah, Lord, I got a bunch of friends over it. Hey, Lord, if I tell you, it makes me be friendly. It makes me be popular. It makes me money. He says, it's got to go. Those detestable things. Those things, that word detestable means filthy. Just simply filthy. Whatever's filthy in your life, God says it's got to go. Now, that's if you want to walk with God. And friend, God's going to cause you to walk with Him. And so there's some filthy things that's got to go. And the second thing I notice is some forbidden things. He says in verse 18, he says, thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. In other words, those things that not only are filthy, but those things that are forbidden. Forbidden. See, our flesh likes to partake of those forbidden things. Hey, I'm as flesh as you are this morning. And Fred, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all die and go to hell. We'd all be part of filthiness and abomination this morning. Oh, but I say to you, in order for God to bring into your life the ability that you walk with God, He's got to remove some forbidden things in your life. It may be of your heart. It may be of your mind. It may be of your imagination. It may be something of secret. It may be something of light. It may be something of darkness. But whatever it is this morning, God's going to remove it out of your life, or you can't walk with God. So we find some forbidden things. We find some filthy things. We find some fleshly things. Chapter 18, up there in the As we look there in the scriptures, look at chapter 18. Chapter 18. There back into our text and there in verse 30. The Bible says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his way, saith the Lord. Repent." Repent. Oh, I know that's a dirty word. I know that's a hard word. I know that most people don't really appreciate the word repent. But it's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God, and that is in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And Fred, you cannot walk with God, the very desire of His heart, unless there's some things that are removed from you. And the way of removing is repentance. We find repent and turn yourselves from your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your sin. And so what are the some things of God's choosing that has to go? Fleshly things. Like rebellion. That word transgression there in verse 30 means rebellion. God says that's got to go. Stubbornness, that's got to go. Revolting, that's got to go. Whatever it is in your life, whatever it is today before God, that you say to God, "God, I will go this far and I'll go no farther," that's got to go. You say, "Oh, well, God, I tell you, I'll give so much, but that's all I'm giving." He's got to go. You say, "Well, God, I'm going to believe so much, and then after that, I can't believe it two more." That's got to go. Rebellion, revolt, stubbornness, transgression. He said it's got to be repented of and turned away if there's going to be a walk with me. So we find this morning, not only is it fleshly things in rebellion, but fleshly things in perverseness. Look there in verse 31. "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make a new heart, a new spirit. For you will, why will you die, O house of Israel?" And so we talk about perverseness. Cast away your transgressions. That word transgression means as well perverseness, iniquities. As it says in verse 30, "So iniquity shall not be your ruin." Just perverse. Just sinful. Just the pleasures of this world. Just the likings of the things that brings a hurt and suffering upon your life. Sinfulness. You're going to have to let these things go. The Bible teaches us that the process of removing are the things of His choosing. They have to go. Number two. Changes of His liking that has to happen. Look here in that Ezekiel chapter 36 with me. Ezekiel chapter 36. So not only is the things of His choosing has to go, I'm talking about the process of removing, but the changes of His liking has to happen. Of His liking. He says in verse 24, He says, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land." Who's doing that? God's doing that. He said, "I am going to make some changes to my liking, and I'm telling you to come out from the heathen. You got to come out from the world. You got to come out from your friends. You got to come out from your co-workers. You got to come out from the criminals. You got to come out from the wicked this morning. You got to come out, amen. You can't no longer join up with them. You can't no longer be in partnership with them. You can't no longer be in association with them. You're going to have to come out of the world. Come out from the heathen. Come out from the pagan. Come out from the unbeliever. Be not unequally yoked with them. He said, that's my choosing this morning. You're going to have some things happen in your life. Not only in the way of removing is the fact the things of his choosing you've got to let go, but changes that is to his liking has to happen. You got to come out. You got to remove yourself from that. You got to gather you up together. There in verse 24, he says, I'm going to gather you out of all the countries. So God's going to say, okay, I'm going to pull you out from the heathen, but I'm going to gather you up. I'm not going to pull you out from the heathen and you go here and you go here and you go here and you go here. Oh, no, no, no. He said, I'm going to pull you out from the heathen, pull you out from the world, but I'm going to gather you unto myself. To my choosing. To my liking. And I'm going to bring you unto me. There in that verse 24, and will bring you unto your own land, and that's where God said that you're going to be. So I'm just saying this to you this morning. The change must take place. The change must take place. The reason why the change must take place, and that is come out from the heathen and be gathered unto him, and then be gathered unto him so that he can be our God and you can be his children, is very explained very well in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn back to there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is what God is saying to you and I this morning. If we're going to walk with God, there's going to have to be a process of removing in order for us to do that. It's going to be things of his choosing, but things of his likings. And what he's saying this morning, like in verse 14, he says the change must take place, and here's the reason why. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, the heathen that he's going to pull you out from. Why? He tells us why. Look at this. Boy, because you're different. He says, you're going to be a believer. And what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? There's a difference. Then he goes on and says, and what communion hath light with darkness? Tell me the similarities of the two. Tell me where light and darkness combined. Tell me where light and darkness can be the same. Tell me where light and darkness can look upon as being equal. It's different. The Bible teaches this as we look through verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? That's the devil. Tell me, what is it that the devil and Christ have in common? Tell me this morning, what part hath he that believeth with the infidel? With the unbeliever, with the heathen, with the world. Tell me, what part do you have with that? Oh, there's a difference. The Bible says in verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Where are you as a temple of God and idols are to meet? Where is the communion of that? Where is the fellowship with that? Where, tell me, in your life, in your home? In your heart, out on the street, in a dark place, in some synagogue, in some temple, in some Muslim group, where does the temple of God and idols come together? We find this morning, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch the unclean thing. And I will receive you. This morning, it's very clear that if we're ever going to walk with God, and he's going to cause us to walk with him, then there's going to have to be a removing and a process of that. If the removal is going to be of what his liking is and what his choosing is. And we find this morning to be so true. Verse 17, he says, the change that did take place, he says, for those who walk with God. He says, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Verse 16, he says, I will dwell in them. In verse 16, he says, I will walk in them. In verse 17, he says, I will receive them. In verse 18, he says, I will be a father to them. In verse 16, he says, I will be their God. Friend, there's no salvation. There's no redemption. There is absolutely no way to be born again without the process of removing. And it's at God's choosing, and it's at God's desire. The third thing I want you to notice in the process of removing is not only things of His choosing that has to go, but changes of His liking that must happen. But the misunderstanding of His heart must change. The misunderstanding of God's heart must change. Look in Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. And I want you to look there in that verse 32. And this has got to change in the heart of everyone who's ever going to walk with God. He says this in verse 32. For I have no pleasure, this is God speaking, in the death of him that dieth. And the Lord God, wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. What is God's passion for every single soul in this room? God's passion for every single soul in this room is spoken of there in that verse 31. He says, for why will ye die? Why will ye die? See, God's don't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. God's not interested in sending anybody to hell. God's not excited about judgment and sentencing of people. God's not I can't wait to bring the wrath of God upon this world and upon those people. I can't wait to send disease and earthquakes this and that and the other to destroy and to demolish. God's not that. No. God says, why? Why, Israel? Why will you die? The Bible says in verse 30, he says, so your iniquity, the last portion of it, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. See, God's telling them, he said, listen, Israel, listen, people, you've got sin in your life, and you've got transgressions and iniquity, and ye have to come out from the heathen, and ye are going to have to return and repent, and you're going to have to come out, as I ask you to do, and turn from your transgressions so that your sin won't be your ruin. Because if you die in your sin, why will you die? For I have no pleasure in them that dieth the death. God said, I have no pleasure to see people die without me. I have no pleasure to see people die without my son Jesus. I have no pleasure to see people die and go up into hell and then eventually go into the lake of fire. I've got no joy nor pleasure for anyone. Why? Why do you continue to live in sin? Why do you continue to love this world? Why do you continue to hold on to the things that are forbidden? Why, the filthy things of life, are you so likable to and lovable to and attached to and seem like that you are the habits with and that you just continue to hold on to? I don't want you to die the death. He's talking about dying and going to hell. He's talking about dying without God. So we find this misunderstanding of the heart of God must change. God doesn't want you like that. God wants you to turn. God wants you to put away. God wants you to cast away. God wants you to come to Him. Turn from your sin and believe and trust in Jesus. That's what He wants this morning. So it's God's pleasure. It's God's passion that you come to Him. It's God's pleasure. It's not in the death. But what God's pleasure is, in verse 32 tells us, He says, Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. See, God wants you to live. God wants to give you abundant life. God wants to give you a spiritual life. God wants to give you eternal life. God wants to give you a physical life. God doesn't want you to die and go, because if it was, He's the one who gives you the breath to breathe. The Bible teaches us that He giveth and taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so it's His charge. Matter of fact, the breath you're breathing is on loan to you. It's His breath this morning. If He desires to take it from your body, He'll do so. Amen. And there's nothing you can do about it. But until then, He wants you to live. 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 What does it mean to live? It means that He's your God and you're His child, sons and daughters, and you're walking after God. That's living. That's living. A lot of people think living is lots of money, or living is a lots of houses, or money is a lots of girlfriends, or living is a lots of things like boats and cars and guns and this and that. And living is just having freedom. Living is just doing what you want to do. Living is having nobody tell you what to do. Living is being the boss. Living is being in charge. But none of that's living. What living is, you have eternal life, spiritual life, abundant life, physical life, walking with God. Oh, I tell you today, if there's ever going to be a time that God makes you walk with Him, it's because there's been a process of removing. Number two, hope you stay with me during that time. You say, brother, that's just one message in itself. It is, but we're going to bring up message number two this morning. I don't know why I do this, but I just do it. And so you can write down message number one in your notes and then start number two, but it's going to be kind of connected together because it's going to be called the power of renewing. So after the process of removing, we notice the power of renewing. Exodus chapter 11 and verse 19. So in verse 18 and so forth and so on, you've seen the removing. So that's already been talked about and told. Now verse 19, as we're moving through the Scripture, line upon line and precept upon precept, we see that He says, I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of the flesh and give them an heart of flesh. That's what God will do. Do you see any part with you in that at all? Do you see it all where God asks you, can I partner up with you? Do you find where it says that in order to go to heaven, it's a one little work, two little work, three little works? Do you find anywhere in the Scripture that says that you have any responsibility at all with salvation? Once God brings a removal in your life, it's now God that's going to put in a new heart and a new spirit. That's God. You can't make your heart new. You can't make your spirit new. Only God can do that. And you're not going to walk with God. You're not going to be one of His children. He's not going to be your father unless you have a new heart. Unless you have a new spirit. It will not happen ever in your lifetime. So God said, I will. I will. So I notice here the power is with God. This is His choice. I don't see Israel yelling to God, God, give me a new heart. Give me a new heart. You find people saying that all the time. Lord, I'm just going to ask you to give me a new heart. Give me a new heart. Give me a new spirit. Give me a new spirit. Give me, give me, give me. They're not asking for nothing. God says, I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to clear it out. I'm going to make you have a clean, I'm going to cleanse you up and clear you up. And then I'm going to put a new heart in you. And friend, that's what God will do. That's not what man's asking for God to do. Does this make sense? So Israel, you and I this morning, it is the power that's with God. It's His choice. It's His will. It's His pleasure. He said, I will give in verse 19. He said, I will put in verse 19. He said, I will take in verse 19. I will give, put, take. He said, I'll do that. And so this morning, every single one of us that are saved, God did it. Amen? God did. You say, well, brother, you got to have faith to believe. Where'd you get the faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Boom, God gave me faith. You say, well, you got to have repentance. Well, where do you get that? The Bible says in Acts that God granted repentance. And so I got repentance because of God. God gave it to me. There's none seeketh after God. There's none that doeth righteous. None that doeth good. Oh, friend, but when the Word of God and the Spirit of God combined in our hearts and our lives, we find that He brings a conviction upon our lives about our sin and about our righteousness and about the judgment of God. And then the Holy Ghost of God begins to work into our hearts and work into our lives. And then the Word of God brings faith into our lives so that we can repent of sin and by faith receive Christ as Savior. And He becomes our God. We become His children. And we find ourselves with a new heart. A new heart. So the power's with God, the power is by God. The God who wants you to have one heart. The Bible says in verse 19, I will give them one heart. That's what God wants from you. One heart. He's not going to share. He's a jealous God. He won't share you with your wife. He won't share you with your husband. He won't share you with your children. He won't share you with your money. He won't share you with a Sunday. He won't share you with your work. He won't share you with your friends. He won't share you. One heart. That's what happens when you get saved. One heart. Number two, it is God that wants you to have a new spirit. He said, I will put a new spirit within you. It's God that's going to do the work. He's going to put that spirit in you. He's going to put that drive in you. He's going to put that zeal in you. He's going to put that activity in you. You know, that spirit. You know, when you talk about children, you say we can't break their spirit, right? When you're whipping them and you're chastising them or you're grounding them or you're trying to bring them into some subjection and you're trying to show them that it is honorable to obey your mother and father and that's what God would have it to be like. And in doing that, you show that you love them because you chastise them, because you punish them, because you, I guess you can use the term whip, right? That's love. That's what God does with us, His children this morning. And so in finding this thought this morning, what does God expect out of us this morning? What does God want from us this morning? What is it that God is trying to do? He's trying to give us a new spirit. Not break your spirit, to give you a new spirit. Number two, or three, in God who wants you to have a heart of flesh. You see that in verse 19? He said, I will give them a heart of flesh. That's what God is. And all this is going to take place because God does it. But the power is in God. In Christ is where all the renewing takes place. In Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 says, for ye are all the children of God. Aren't we talking about that in this scripture? In chapter 11, chapter 18, and chapter 36, God says, my children and I'm your father. You're my children, I'm your father. We find in this verse here, it says, in chapter 3, verse 26, it says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So this new heart is in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28 says this, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one. In Christ Jesus. One. The Bible says in Psalm 62:7, in God is my strength and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. It is safe to say that the power is in God this morning, the power to renew man. Verse 19, the point of interest to God to renew you is your heart. Is your heart. I want you to notice the splintered heart. He says, I want you to have one heart. Now, why would God tell them to have one heart? Because their heart is splintered at this point. You know what I'm talking about, splintered, right? I'm talking about it's kind of just going all kind of different directions. They might have Baal, they might have Chemosh, they might have Dagon. They might have this grove over here under the tree. They might believe of this Egyptian moon god. They might believe over here in this Roman sun god. They might believe in all these other gods, and God is just kind of like part of the group. That's called a splintered heart. For you and I, in just everyday life, it's like this, is that God is not preeminent in my life. He's not above number one. Did y'all know that? That preeminence means above one. For every husband, number one, are to be your wife. Then your children. And it moves on down from there. Because God's preeminent over all that. He's so holy, He's so right, and He's so proper, and He's so good, and He's so great, that He can't even be compared to your wife or husband or your children or anything else in your life. He's so far above that. Does that make sense? So He has the preeminence this morning. And with Him having the preeminence this morning that He's above and everyone, God says, listen, I'm going to deal with your splintered heart. You've got a lot of things in your life that your heart is taking precedence over. Your heart is engaging in many other things. Your heart is taken in so many different directions. He said, so I'm just going to help you out, and I'm just going to give you one heart. And that one heart's going to be right toward me. And my heart, your heart is going to be my heart. And my heart is what I put in you. And because I put it in you, guess who's in charge of that heart? God. I put it in you. Now, if you form your own heart, if you create your own God, if you make up your own Jesus, if you make up your own religion and your own Christianity, then you're not even in this ball field. You're way out in space somewhere. But I'm talking about when God puts a new heart in you, it's no longer splintered. It's one. Those who deal with a splintered heart, but that word heart means affections. And if I say, well, I have affection for you, you know where that comes from? Your heart. The word heart means attraction. I'm attracted to you. You know where that came from? The heart. If I say, well, it means appetite. I have an appetite for some papacita chicken fajitas. Boy, I tell you, that's some good stuff right there. That's an appetite. That's in my heart, right? So the heart is where your resolutions are. The heart is where your determination is. The heart is where your courage is at. And so God says, I'm going to make one heart. So that all your determinations and all your resolutions and all of your very courage is from me. So you're just going to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to walk with God. It don't happen. There's got to be a process of removing. There's got to be a power of renewing. And that renewing is having a new heart, one heart. Number two. Not only does he deal with the splintered heart, but I notice he deals with the stony heart. Back into our text in verse 19, he says, I will take out the stony heart. Now, isn't it interesting to you this morning, dear friend, that God just don't take your old heart and kind of redo it? You see that? This is kind of, not strange, but unusual. I mean, it's not like a remodel. It's not like a renovating. It's not like God is restoring here. He's not taking some bits of your heart that's good and some bits of your heart that's bad. And He says, okay, I'm going to fix all that up and I'm going to make it one heart. No, He said this. He said, I can't even use that. That stony heart that everybody's born with, that stony heart that you have this morning that if you're not saved, you still have, it's hard. It's useless. It's not useful at all. I mean, it don't have no value. That stony heart. What do you do with a stony heart? And what do you do with a stone? Most of the time, you put it on the ground and step on it. A stony heart. God says, I can't work with that. You know, many people say, well, God knows my heart. You better be careful. Because He knows a whole lot more than you think He knows. He can't use that stony heart. He can't. He's not saying that it's okay. I know you love me sometimes, sometimes you don't. You're 50% on my side. You're 35% away from me. You know, you grew up in church all your life. You read your Bible all your life. You know that about Jesus and all his miracles and wonders and signs. You know about all of the stories back at Adam and Eve and Moses and Noah and the ark and all that kind of stuff. Yet you're still not walking with me. You're still not convinced in me. You're not committed to me. You're not living for me. You're not doing all that you wanted, that I want you to do. It's because that you have not removed in your life the things I told you to remove, and you have not been renewed by a new heart, because you thinking you're going to take your old heart and you're going to remodel that thing and it's going to be okay with God. But God says, no, I'm going to take it completely out of you. That heart you used to have is gone. You don't even have a chance to go back to it. You don't even have opportunity to come through with it again. I've done took it out. See, Fred, we've got a misunderstanding in this thing about Christianity that you can live for God when you want to, but that's not true. We got this thought today that God knows my heart why I don't go to church, and God knows my heart why I have 14 addictions. God knows my heart why I'm stuck on pornography. God knows my heart why I lie, steal, and abuse. God knows my heart why these things happen. And God may know what. Listen, you need to wake up and smell the roses this morning and understand the scripture that your heart is desperately wicked. It is no way that the Bible teaches us that we trust in our heart. The Bible says a fool trusts in his heart. God said the only way that you're going to walk with me is if I just completely have heart surgery and remove that heart of stone and put that heart of flesh in. God, man looketh on the outer appearance, but where does God look? On the heart. That's why you don't walk with God. Because you're still playing with your old heart. You're still messing around with the old, deceived heart. You're trying to make your old heart good. You're trying to get your old heart in shape. You're trying to get your old heart in line. I'm telling you, it's just a heart of stone. It'll never get in line. It'll never straighten up. You say, man, why do I have these imaginations? Why do I have these ideas? Why do I have all this going on in my life? Why do I go back to where I know I shouldn't go back to? Why do I do what I know that it's not right to do? Why can't I get it together? Why am I up and down like a yo-yo? Why can't I get just settled? Why can't I ever get to the place where Jesus is first and my life is counted for Christ? I tell you why, because you're working with a stony heart. You're going to have it cut out and removed. And God's going to have to put a new heart in there. One heart. So that you can walk with God. Then I kind of tell you a third thing, we'll close. Now, I've got all this to go, but I can't do it. My second message went too long. Not only is there a splintered heart and a stony heart, but I know it's a saved heart. The Bible says in Ezekiel 18, verse 31, it's a new heart, a heart of flesh. Now, what is a heart of flesh? It's a soft heart. It's a heart that can feel. It's a heart that can feel. A heart of flesh can feel. It's a heart that can be touched. It's a heart that can be reached. It's a soft heart. It's a living heart. A heart that can love. A heart that can live. And a heart that can learn. It's a clean heart that can be strong, heart that can be right, and a heart that can be useful. One heart that's dedicated, that is separated, and that is single unto God. He said, now a new spirit. A new spirit. He says that in Ezekiel 11, 19. He says that in Ezekiel 18, 31. He says in Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. A new spirit. Now what's a new spirit? Quickly, it's a new motive. He doesn't take out your old spirit. Remember, when you're born spiritually dead. So you're already dead. He makes that spirit alive. He brings a life. It's a principle of action. It's a drive. It's a power. We've seen that in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, verse 8. It says that after the Holy Ghost of God come upon you, you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Power. He says, he tells them in Luke 24, 49, he says, go back to Jerusalem and you shall be endued with what? With power. So when you get saved and born again, your spirit that was dead now comes alive, but it comes alive with vibrancy and liveliness. I'm going to close with this because I need to. Look in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. There's one more addition that I want to say to this before we close. Is there's a new presence. New heart, new spirit, new presence. Ezekiel 36, verse 27 says, and I will put my spirit within you. Now, that's something there. So God says this. He says, I'm going to have to remove some things out of your life. I'm going to have the power to renew. I'm going to give one heart, new spirit, new heart. He said, then I'm going to put my spirit in you. In you. So that means not only do you get a new heart, affections, appetites, attractions. You get a new spirit, the mode of action, the power, the zeal, the excitement. He said, but me will come into you and I will be the God that your father and you'll be the children in my family. And I will be the one who rules. I will be the one who reigns. I will be the Lord of your life. I will control you and you will listen to me and you'll follow me. Look in that verse 27. What does it say after that? He said he caused them to walk. That's where you got to get to. The Holy Spirit of God. New heart, new spirit. You need more than that. You need Jesus to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The Lord of glory in you. Romans chapter 8, we have time, but it tells us all about that. The Spirit of God dwelleth not in you, you're none of His. It's the Spirit of God this morning that will cause you to walk. We won't have to beg you tonight to come to church. We won't have to beg you tomorrow to do right. God won't have to put things upon you, remove things out of your life so that you'll do right. If the Spirit of God is indwelling in you, He'll cause you to walk. To walk. I wonder this morning, are you walking? Are you walking? Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Say, Brother Larry, I'm still really just living in my sin. Won't you come this morning? Let's get saved. Let's get God do some removing in our lives. Say, Brother, I really just have pleasure in alcohol and have pleasure in women and men. And I have pleasure in drugs and I just have pleasure in telling dirty jokes and listening. I just have pleasure in sinful activities and wickedness and iniquities. I don't know, you're not ready. You're just not ready. You're not ready to go to heaven. You're not ready to have a new heart and a new spirit and the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, when you get sick and tired of your own life and you get tired of you, when you come to the place and say, you know what, I'm just giving up. I'm done. I hate who I am. I hate what I do. I'm sick and tired of the suffering that I'm causing my parents. I'm tired of the trouble that I'm bringing my spouse and family. I hate the reputation that I have with my friends and my coworkers. I'm just ready to give up. I'm ready to let go. Now you're getting there. Well, you ready? I just want God to give me a new heart, a new spirit. I want Him to indwell in my life. I want Him to be the ruler and the reign of my soul. The captain of my salvation, the bishop, the author and finisher of my faith. Are anybody like that this morning? You just ready for Jesus to take over? Won't you come in repentance and by faith receive Him? How about you saved? I'm just cold. I'm just hard. I need help. Won't you come and pray? You that are living for God and you're excited about it, you're praying right now, asking God to work. You sing, Brother George. If you just want to come brag on Jesus for a while, you come do that. You sing. You sing. Come. Come, you friend. Come, you that are heavy laden. Come, that are burdened down. Come, that are just tired. Come and drink of the water. Come and eat of the bread. Come, take of the light. Come. Come, experience the grace of God. Come and know Jesus. Come. Oh, God, help today. Help us, Lord. Oh, we beg you this morning. God, save sinners. Convict the saints. God, draw us to you. This is how you make us walk with you, Lord. You remove and you renew. Thank you, Lord. Let's be dismissed here this morning. Brother T, will you dismiss us? Okay.